The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And I am reading from the Common English Bible translation. So please hear these words. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. The words read, "Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight." Well, John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized and to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced that one stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the straps of his sandals. John says, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, it is so good to be with each and every one of you here this morning at Laurel Heights United Methodist Church on this second Sunday of Advent, a four-week journey that serves to prepare the way to Christmas. And as one blogger notes, via a bit of liturgical wilderness. And then, as Pastor Paul shared this past Sunday, a journey that encourages leaning inward, listening for God in new ways, listening with our heart for that whisper, a time of reflection and contemplation to a spiritual awakening, a preparing that points us, you and I, to Christ. We are especially reminded in this season of a historical place and time, the birth of a tiny Savior so long ago, yet an event that has the potential in the present, in the here and now, for Jesus to be born anew in our lives, to let the good news of the gospel message sink deeply, more deeply into our hearts and into our world. Well, this season also acknowledges an anticipation of that which is yet to come, Jesus' second coming in the fullness of time. And so we actively wait, expectantly together with a yearning, even an ache, on an imperfect and broken world to pass, or at the very least the year 2020 to pass. Why? Because all is not right in this world. And I don't have to tell you or even remind you, but this year has been especially different and difficult. You see, for most of the year, we have been anxious and fearful, angry, distrusting, lonely, closed off from those that we love due to this unprecedented pandemic. And whether it is an issue for you to wear a mask or not wear a mask, or our political climate, more than ever before, we have become a divided people. And as one commentator described, a people waiting in a locked down Advent. In other words, a long drawn out wilderness experience. Yet, on the flip side, Advent also confronts this disjointedness, this corrosion of the heart with the insistence that God has not abandoned the world, that God is real, that hope is real, that the sun still shines despite our darkest days. You see, God's love is unconditional, something that we can hold on to right now and something yet to come. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us always. As one speaker and author, Rob Bell, writes, he says, Advent, in his view, charges into the temple of cynicism with a whip of hope, overturning the tables of despair and fear, of doubt, of oppression, uncertainty, and hardship. And it acknowledges, as we face the harsh realities of our world and the frailty of our humanness, that there is a new day, and that day is not like any other. So as we turn back to our scripture passage this morning, we read the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Now, without much lead-in or a peal of trumpets, we find ourselves thrust into the action of the desert. And akin to today's disjointedness, Mark's audience has similar feelings and struggles as they face the harsh realities of their world. These first century Christian hearers were under persecution by the disastrous Jewish and Roman war. And as a result of this war, Jerusalem was under siege. The conditions difficult, the people found themselves divided, the tensions were high, neighbors feared one another. Everyone was anxious. The darkness they experienced and were experiencing took on a threatening shape. People were desperate to hear the good news that this messenger, John the Baptist, had to offer as they struggled to survive, as they yearned and longed to prosper in the years during this war and following. Now, the writer of Mark tells us John is the one that the prophet Isaiah and Malachi talk about when it is written in the 40th chapter of Isaiah and the 3rd chapter of Malachi. We hear these words: I will send my messenger ahead of you. Who will prepare your way? A voice of one calling out in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, meaning remove all obstacles and make straight paths for him. Now, whether literally in the wilderness or we find ourselves in voids where God appears to be silent, John shares this promising news about a life-changing event that leads to forgiveness of sins, that leads to a deeper connection to God as he urges those that are following him to make themselves ready. Ready yourselves, he says, to be a vessel through which God's love can enter human history. And though scripture tells us that the crowds were flocking and flocking to John the Baptist, when we read everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to the Jordan River to be baptized by him. But guess what? John doesn't point to himself. In fact, he points away from himself. He points to someone that he says is so much stronger than he. John points his first hearers and now us to Jesus. He points us to a hope-filled future by promising that the one that is about to come is not going to be baptizing but by water, but with the eternal Holy Spirit. This one will bring light to this darkened time. Pastor Paul last Sunday began his Advent sermon series, Watching for the Light, by talking about an awakening to a new day of seeing the world and its eternal mysteries, perhaps seeing a yearning that has lied deep and dormant, or a hunger for a search that has left undiscovered. An awakening that encourages hearing something as quiet as God's whisper. So on this second Sunday, as we actively wait and we watch for the light, I suggest that this gospel writer is making use of the word prepare, or preparing, in two different ways. First, John tells the people that he has a job to do, to prepare a way that points these early hearers to Christ, even at a time that the people couldn't even imagine a way out of the darkness, out of the disorder, out of their wilderness experience. And then second, he informs these new Christians they have a job to do as well. They have a job to prepare, to ready themselves, ready their hearts to be God's vessel, to repent and turn around, to be baptized, not just by water, but by the Holy Spirit, to become this all-new creation. And in a comparable way, we are called to live out this same hope, to model this same sense of assurance given to these first century Christians, and to share the promise of the gospel in every time and space. People flocked to John the Baptizer from all over the Judean countryside to hear and experience this good news, this life-altering event. And although good news, understandably, people were confused, seeking answers to such questions as, were you really the one foretold? The one who will deliver us from our fear, our doubt, our heartache, our hardship, and our oppression? And perhaps, like those early Christians, we today are left wondering like questions. At times in our lives when we feel unsure of our next steps, when fear grips us in the face of such uncertainty and the unfamiliar, or when there only appears to be a very dim light that illuminates our way, we too look around and we wonder when God will show up and save us. For our way to be made more clearer, to when is God going to show up and address such injustice, our pain? You can fill in the blank right now with whatever is your life circumstance. You see, we yearn for a messenger to assure us of a prosperous future for our children, for ourselves, our grandchildren, and for future generations. You know, this Advent, many of us have been traveling in the wilderness for what seems like most of the year, at least since mid-March, maybe earlier. And even those that would say they have a sturdy foundation of faith, they will tell you they have been shaken. Many of us have felt the impact of this pandemic, whether it's a loss of a job or job insecurity, food insecurities. What about loneliness? Loneliness. The many who have lost a loved one. Those that continue to struggle is what we have termed now, or science has termed, long haulers. And what about the absence of holiday gatherings and traditions? We just experienced that for Thanksgiving, and now here we are in the season of Advent, leading up to Christmas traditions. For many of us, this time of year does not feel like that typical joyous march towards that moment when we celebrate the birth of that tiny Savior who came to us in the quiet and humble of the night. And as I pondered this, as I listened for what God wanted me to share with you today, my thoughts turned to a poem that I came across many years ago. It was written by an anonymous Holocaust victim who was hiding from the Nazi Gestapo during World War II. It was found, his words or her words were found carved on a wall in a deep, dark cellar. The words scribbled on that wall said this: "I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I can't feel it. And I believe in God, even when God is silent." I believe these weighty words address humanity's common questions. Our questions today: how is it that we stand in this beautiful, sacred sanctuary and hang on to our belief? The belief that despite the headline news or our personal stories or struggles, how is it that we hold on to that belief that Emmanuel, God, is with us? And how is it that we believe that even when in our darkest days and moments, there seems to be this absence of light and love, and sometimes we feel the absence of God? Although the harshness of the darkness and the silence of the wilderness may be felt more deeply this year, the same ageless truths remain constant. The same truths revealed by that messenger John in the wilderness so long ago, sent to share the good news of the gospel message. See, God calls each of us to adopt hearts and lives characterized by an openness to follow, even when we lack the energy, to instill hope, even when ourselves are struggling with hopelessness, to prepare us for something much greater, much stronger, to point us to something certain amid a continued uncertainty, to point us to the Messiah so we can ready ourselves to be this vessel through which God's love can enter this time in human history. We have this job to do. So let us remember that all things here on earth are temporary. The way of Jesus begins when we are called to turn and when we listen and to be freed of an aimless life. And having done this, we are born anew and better prepared to continue our life in the Spirit. So, church, our work is to embody God's unconditional love, acceptance, and patience here in this world, in our community, to shine the light of the Messiah in every time and space. So, church, may our lives be shaped by our hope and the truth that God truly is here. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us always. Let us pray. O loving God, you sent your prophet John to prepare your way among us, to call us to repentance and to make our pathways straight. O God, we ask that you strengthen us to live lives of steadfast love and faithfulness as we actively await Jesus' return, that all may see your reign of peace and wholeness through the promises of your gospel message. It is in your most precious Son's name we pray all these things. Amen.